Blog Talk Radio.
Beyonce wrote that song about Gamer Girls Radio, right? Y'all do know
Hell
that.
Oh, yeah,
I just imagine Beyonce sitting somewhere and happening to be flipping through BT and going, what's this show about?
Hey, that's my song.
I have had way too much coffee. This is going to be interesting.
You have way too much coffee this morning, woman.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have some residuals left over from the five-hour energy I took yesterday.
Oh, good Lord.
Because this hit me before I actually had the coffee, this whole speed racer thing I have going on. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, crazy. Beyonce, no. Beyonce and GLaDOS, break it up.
GLaDOS.
GLaDOS is like, this is my show.
She thinks it is. She's wrong, of course, but she thinks it is.
This is my show. Are you having coughing issues today?
Apparently. Well, there's a fire down the road right now, so it's really smoky and like to the point where it smells really, really good in here. But it's
I love that
kind of thing in my eyes.
I love that smell. The fire when they're burning the leaves and stuff. I love it.
This is burning acreage.
So. Oh, that's not good. Mm.
No. I mean, because I was like, oh, it's kind of cloudy. I was like, wait a minute, that's not cloud. That's smoke. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
They're here for news, I think, maybe.
We have so much news, I'm not even sure where to start. I'm just going to tell y'all, I open up my mailbox, and there's, like, you know, tons of things. We got a bunch of Kickstarter stuff going on, and what just happened? Oh, did you hear that?
I did, but what was that?
That would be Armored Games and their new game called Zombie Situation.
Zombie Situation.
And apparently, it's a situation and it's got zombies in it. This is actually one of our news stories. This is, I'm not sure what their website, well, it's called Armored Games. They're online, looks like they're an online game company, kind of in the vein of Zynga and, you know, what was that other website that we visit a lot? They got bought out by GameStop. I can't remember their name. But anyway, they're in that vein where they just do online games. And this particular game is free to play. You don't have to download.
Like free.
That's right. You can fight your way through a zombie-infested in town, use many weapons, and the assistance of the survivors, too. There's three difficulty stages, a survival mode, and leaderboards, and boss fights. That's right. They said you can beat the game to unlock survival mode, and the controls are easy. It's up, down, space bar, and 1 through 9. That's pretty much it. There's at least right now 172,000 people playing.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yep,
that sounds like a good little community.
Yep, and it's linked to your Facebook and Twitter, so you can post up stuff and share with your peoples and all that stuff. So very, very nice. So, hello, Armor Games. Stumbled across you quite by accident just a minute ago, but I saw, but it looks like a fun game.
See you. No?
Oh, God, you haven't even had any coffee. You think you're picking up on me.
Could be. All right, so I guess it's my turn for news.
It is.
If I can breathe long enough to do it. Ouya passes $7 million funding mark.
Ooh, go Ouya.
Yeah.
Go Ouya.
This just popped up on GamePolitics.com this morning. Ouya has managed to crack the $7 million mark. They just have a day left before its crowdfunding deadline ends. The $99 console managed to raise $7,036,309. All it was looking for to begin with was $950,000. 52,932 of you have backed this thing. Wow, it only has 37 more hours to go. They say, in case you haven't been paying attention, Ouya is an Android-based home game console backed by Jawbone Jambox and one laptop per child designer Ives Behar, Ed Fries, inventor of the original Xbox, Amal Sarva of Peak, Amazon's Lab 126 Mufi Gadali, who helped develop the Kindle, Peter Pham of Color, and Julie Uram of IGN as its founder and CEO. The console system promises a development kit for anyone that buys the $99 device and a development atmosphere that has caught the attention of many high-profile developers, including Minecraft developer Mojang, creator of Prince of Persia Jordan Mechner, Genova Chin, and that game company, Flow Cloud and Flower, Adam Saltzman of Semi-Secret, creator of Cannibalt, Merrick Rob. Oh my God, a lot of people.
all those people down here on this list that you can't see.
Yes. All right, so the deadline closes tomorrow, Thursday, August 9th. No, that's not tomorrow. 2 days from now, August 9th, Thursday. Today's only Tuesday. Anyways, so if you've not donated and you want to, head over there and do that. If you've not donated, like me, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know about this, well, you know, you're in good company at least.
All right. We got a ton of news today. We got a ton of news today. I'm really not knowing what to tell you about. I'm like, this is good. I need to tell them about this. Okay, so quickly, other quick announcements, and then I'm actually going to do a story. Yes, an actual story. For those of you who love you some Olympics, and I do know of a few of you who are diehard Olympic fans, you should know that there is a website, or actually a game on Google Plus called Google Doodle, I guess. That's kind of Google Doodle, I think. And it's timed all kinds of stuff. You get to jump hurdles and they put your score up, and it's really cool little game, and it's actually played in the Google browser. Cool, right? Well, it's not called Google Doodle. It's you know how when you go to Google site, usually they have something, they've changed their logo to be something else. So this game is a part of the logo. You race, and then you can post your scores up on Google Plus. Really cool. Also, today, make sure you go over to at Her Interactive and give them some love. Their Kickstarter launched today for the Nancy Drew games, which are some epic games. If you've never played them, awesome games made all by women. Starring a woman. Nancy Drew is, whatever Sherlock Holmes, Nancy Drew is it. Movie sucked, though. Movie wasn't that great, but the game, awesome. I told you about those games, didn't I?
I think so. The Nancy Drew games?
Yeah, I'm not. We might have.
Yeah. She was visiting an aunt and uncle. Do you ever notice how many aunts and uncles that
Nancy Drew
have?
Yeah, how many kids did your grandparents
Holy
have?
Crap. Your grandparents were busy.
And who? Where is your look and be Southern? And where is your mama? How come you get to travel everywhere by yourself?
No kidding. Who sends their teenage daughter off to just whoever?
She's all in snow-capped mountains, and last time I played, she's in New Orleans.
Back in the day of Nancy Drew's day, if you sent your daughter off, it wasn't for good reasons.
Yes, very true.
She was coming back about, 20 pounds lighter.
And with a new understanding of what it means to be a woman.
And a new little brother.
Yes, she brought back her brother, who looks amazingly like her and the neighbor's son.
Yes, right?
But Nancy Drew... good games to play if you're into mysteries. If you have a little girl person in your house, they have good. The game actually has the settings made for younger gamers. It's not even difficulty levels. It's like, this is for little girls, big girls, and here's adults. So the mysteries get harder as you change the difficulty setting, but not in the way it normally works. I think it takes some parts of the mystery out when it's for the younger ones. And they're very much like interactive books.
It was a really good game.
Yeah, so fun to play. Not a ton of action in the way that you all like, where you shoot up things, but definitely a thinking woman's game if you want to play Nancy Drew. But they need some funding for their Kickstarter. I think they're trying to move to do something on the iPad, which I think would be absolutely epic to be able to play it on iPad. Oh, I could solve some mysteries on a plane. That would keep me from thinking the plane's going to fall out of the sky, I'm always convinced the plane's going to crash when I get on it, and I'm serious.
It's not going to crash.
I am convinced. Now, on to other stories.
My turn.
No, it's my turn. I haven't done a story.
Oh, okay.
Those are my announcements.
Okay, my bad.
Okay, so Ginger and I were actually talking about this before the show, and I'm sure some of you, if you follow us on Facebook, heard what happened to one of the reporters over at Wired, Mr. Matt Honan. And we were debating, she and I, if we would even say anything about it if it's considered news, and we agreed it's news. Yeah, because some of you that have a lot of Apple products are under the mistaken impression that you cannot be hacked and you cannot get a virus. Mr. Honan would beg to differ. Yeah, you can go and find his story up on our page. But here's just some tidbits on how he got hacked a couple of days ago. Now, according to Mr. Mahonan, and I hope I'm saying your name right, you know how you call in if you lost your password to your Apple account? You can call in, and all they need to verify who you are the last four digits of your credit card, was it say? Or he said he went so far, if you really want to get deep, you can go in and call Amazon and say, I would like to add a credit card to my account. This sounds innocent. Some of you out there are like, what's wrong with that? Well, if I call and add a fake credit card, and there are websites that you can generate to make fake credit cards, and they add it to the account, once I then call in and say, I need, you know, I've lost my password and I've added this credit card and name to the account. Now I have access to your account and your credit card number, the real one that you put on your account. And it goes on to get way worse from there. Basically, the hackers took, they wiped his MacBook, his iPad, his iPhone. He had some stuff stored in the iCloud login. They locked him out of his iCloud. Just anything that can possibly go wrong has gone wrong for him. In addition to once they locked him out of the cloud, he had to have a four-digit PIN to get in. The way that Apple has it set up, you can't get back in. He also, he had his things hooked to email or to Gmail, and he says he tried to recover it. Wait a minute, I'm trying to make sure I have the story straight. I'm kind of reading this. This is a really long story, but you must read it. You need to go over to Wired, especially if you have a lot of Apple products, if you think that you're safe. He did talk to Apple directly about their security policy, and spokesperson Natalie Karras told Wired that Apple takes their customers' privacy seriously and requires multiple forms of verification before resetting an Apple ID password. However, in this particular case, the customer's data was compromised by a person who had acquired personal information about the customer. And in addition, he is saying that we found that our own internal policies were not followed completely, or she said that. And she says, we are reviewing our processes for resetting account passwords to ensure our customers' data is protected. On Monday, Wired verified some of the techniques that the hacker used in a different account, and they were able to get in. So basically they're saying all you need to access someone's email addresses were two easily acquired pieces of information, a billing address, and the last four digits of the credit cards they had on file. And again, he pretty much lost everything. And I'm not saying the hackers are right or that he deserved what happened to him. It's not even the case. It's a case of you all need to learn to be more careful out there. I mean, if the hacker really wants in, you can't stop him. We all know that here, and we all take a chance being on the Internet. But truthfully, don't think because you have Apple products that you are unhackable and that you cannot get a virus. You can. Just be careful. Make sure you change up your passwords. They've got websites that generate passwords. If you can't think of any, just make sure you keep your stuff safe. We'd hate to hear that this happened again. It's a bad thing that happened to him, but hopefully it'll teach some of you a lesson. Anyway.
Yes, that was bad.
It is a horrible, horrible thing. I just kept going, oh, God, how horrible for you, how horrible. But it's gone. There's nothing he can do. They took over his Twitter account, too, and started posting hateful.
I heard about that. People... And I can't even say be more careful. I mean, some of that's just,
Well, it wasn't even that he wasn't being careful. For me, I know for him, he's just like, you know, I'm a reporter. I didn't think of these things. But I'm looking at the standpoint of Apple a lot of times breeds a false sense of security with their customers. It's great.
They do.
It's great that you're telling people, you know, you want your customers to trust you so much, but you need to make sure that they're safe because if we find out this has happened to a lot more people, there's going to be a backlash against Apple. It's going to be worse than the whole factory thing. Your customers' data is not safe. As Matt was saying, he had a lot of contacts and people in his in his iPhone, that if they had decided to go through, they could have gotten to a whole bunch more people. I mean, this is, you know, and then by them, you know, it could have been like a whole bad LinkedIn thing. They could have gotten access to a whole bunch of people and their data and went nuts. He said he's lucky they didn't go into his bank account.
They really are.
Yeah, and it could get really worse. And as he said, the mistake that he made is that he daisy chained all of his things together. Now, you can do this, but there is a way to daisy chain to make it a little bit harder. We're not saying anybody is unhackable. There's nobody on the planet that's unhackable. There's always a way for them. They've always thought of something you didn't. They can get in if they really want to. But what we're telling you is don't make it so easy, people.
No.
If you get an email, and you know, I think what galls me with a lot of people now is that the two good things that Facebook and Yahoo have going for them is that when somebody accesses your account and it's not on that list, you know how when you first log in from somewhere else, it asks you, mm-hmm. you know, is this a good device? It sends an email. A lot of you don't have that feature turned on. Or two, you ignore it because you think that mail is a spam mail. That mail is not a spam mail. When it says we believe someone has accessed your account, you don't have to click on it. You can go log into the mail to check.
Yeah.
And then once you look through, because this happened to a Yahoo account that I have attached to some other game that somebody had logged in, and I knew then that it said they logged in from like Seoul, Korea. And bam, I just changed my passwords. Bam, I'm done, and I walk away. Whoever it was that had access to my email no longer has it. I picked a generated password, something that's not specific to me. That's the other stupid mistake people make. Don't pick your name, your phone number backwards.
I know.
It has to be something.
1234 is apparently the most common password
and
out
God,
there.
Still. And God, still.
And God? Really,
still.
People?
Jesus, God, still.
No. All right, just no. All right, so Zyniga's got competition.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if we talked about this one or not.
I don't think we did.
Everybody's getting in on the game studio thing. Amazon launches a game studio.
Oh.
Yeah, Amazon is entering a social gaming market with the debut of a new department, Amazon Game Studios. In a blog post, the e-commerce retailer says the studio will be developing innovative, fun, and well-crafted games. Amazon, you know, anything for Amazon. I'm sorry, I don't really think of well-crafted. Anyways, Amazon.
Well, not after that debacle. They were part of the whole debacle with the guy getting hacked.
I know, right? Amazon cites the popularity of social games among its customers as the reason for its foray into the market. We know that many Amazon customers enjoy playing games, including free-to-play social games, and thanks to Amazon's know-how, we believe we can deliver a great, accessible gaming experience that gamers and our customers can play at any time. The Seattle-based company debuted its first major release, titled Living Classics, on Monday. In the game, a family of foxes come across colorful animated scenes from their favorite books, including Alice in Wonderland, The Wizard of Oz, and King Arthur. Players must help the foxes reunite by finding moving objects. All right. So the game includes other features as well, such as visiting other gamers or friends and sharing rewards that have been earned. Amazon has reached out to gamers on social media with a Facebook fan page that currently has a little more than 150 likes. You can also play the game on Facebook for free. Amazon's new game studio may spell more trouble and competition for Zyniga, the embattled social game development company. Like we said, last month, stock nearly fell 40% in just a few hours. Honestly, I don't think Zyniga has anything to worry about from Amazon. Seriously, Facebook page of 150 likes. Y'all may change that. You guys always surprise me.
Oh, Amazon has 150 likes on there.
Yeah.
We have more. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to move it along. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, new games. Yeah. Brand new games coming out. This is called Bullet Hell. Yeah, it's out on Valve.
Really?
Yes. It just launched on Valve. Yeah, now, Ginger, you're contagious. It was launched on Valve's Steam distribution service, was developed by Tenen Sozai and localized from Japanese to English by New Media, and we hope that you all don't pull it. All your bases are belong to us thing. Please don't. Exceed series is what it's part of, is a trio of shooting games that boast genre-leading production values and devilishly exciting gameplay. All three games are available in the Exceed collection at the outstanding value of just a mere $9.99. Bullet Hell comes at a heavenly price. Some features? Solid game mechanics, including the renowned polarity switch, popularized by Ikaruga. Some of you were like, I know how to say it. Stop saying it wrong.
Ikaruga.
This is a Japanese game. Stellar Japanese voiceover casting, including Chiwa Saito, Akimi Homura, and Puli. You know, I'm not going to even go there. I'm sorry. Killer original soundtracks by Prodigy's Shiaben and, yeah. Moving along. Again, you can purchase the games on a standalone basis for between $2.99 to $5.99 or $9.99 for the entire bundled collection. And New Media Limited has partnered with these Japanese developers to bring top-notch indie video games to gamers around the world. I know nothing about these games. The only things that I love about the Japanese are their morals and the chopsticks. I'm sorry. Did I tell you I had a $30 pair of chopsticks when I was 10?
Why did you have a $30 pair of chopsticks?
My grandmother knew that I loved chopsticks, and I would eat everything with them. And I mean from cereal to toast to eggs, and they were a $30 pair of chopsticks.
What in the world? I'm not even going to get
She bought them for me at the Galleria here in Houston, and I kept them for a number of years, and I lost track of them somewhere between when I turned 13 to 15. But they were $30. They were orange. See, I always had that orange thing. And they had a nice Japanese, you know, dragon down the side, and they were tipped in the black lacquer. They were lovely. But I ate everything with them. Everything.
Did you eat Cheerios with them? What did you do, like loop the Cheerios on the end or something?
No, honey. I am deft with those chopsticks. I wasn't one of those Americans that just liked to hold them. I knew how to use them. I could eat anything with them. I didn't have to loop the Cheerio around. I could pick them up in a bunch, like you do with the spoon. It was good.
Never taking no milk that way.
Yes, you did. You got to know how to do it.
All right.
You got to know how to do it. You don't get a lot of milk, but you get a little bit of milk, just enough to put in your mouth. In your mouth. That's spelled M-O-U-F for those of you who don't know how we spell it here in the South.
All right. First, I'm going to warn you, I don't like how this one is written. So, yeah, and then we're going to gripe about it afterwards. I had to reword that. Grill on grill action available next month on Live Arcade now. Vin United, my new most unfavorite people in the world, are pleased to announce that Arcana Heart 3 is available to download on Xbox 360 from Games on Demand via Xbox Live today. You too can own Arcana Heart now for the fantastic new price of just £14.99 Linden francs, little L sign. Actually, I think that's euros. £19.99 francs, whatever. One of the two. One of the most refreshing fighters of 2011, Arcana Heart 3 is highly regarded by the fighting game community and was awarded the Best Fighting Game Award 2011 by Made2Game.com. All right, see, dudes, if you have a game that's good and people are saying it's good, do you really have to play up the girl-on-girl action thing?
Yes.
Really?
Because they are very...
You can't advertise the game on its own merits?
No. Look, I don't have any other answer. No, you just can't. That's just how they roll.
Give them face and they can't even see it.
Give them the face.
All female cast with a diverse range of colorful anime style characters. 23 characters and 23 arcana combined for over 500 potential characters to create your fighter. A unique homing button allows for spectacular flowing air combos and aerial battles.
Cut him, Jessica!
I'm going to! In the face! Repeatedly!
Oh, God! Oh, she's violent today. I like when she's violent, though.
See, that's how you know. You know, if two people are fighting and they actually do like each other, they won't go for the face. If they don't like each other, oh, it's all about the face and other tender bits.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do with you?
Love me forever.
I do love you, but we got to get you some help. I have created a monster. I have. I love you, Ginger. I do. I love you, Ginger. All right, Shadowrun Online. Yeah, they're coming into the home stretch, or their 7-day home stretch, or rather. Vienna, Frankfurt is where they're from. They're making the Kickstarter game. What did I just say? I don't even know what I just said. I just ran all that together. Okay.
Something about a Kickstarter, Vienna sausage.
Say anything about sausage. I know that much. Stop it, Ginger. With a Kickstarter campaign for Cliffhanger Productions in its final week, Cliffhanger is releasing some all-out information offensive released on their Shadowrun game, including an AMA scheduled for tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Reddit.com, launching two new videos presented by actor Jeff Ricketts. Who's Jeff Ricketts, you say? Angel, Buffy, Firefly, Star Trek, 24. Yes. Actor Jeff Ricketts. from Angel, Buffy, Firefly, Star Trek, and 24, which gives gamers a peek at their information gathering and preparation missions called Legwork and the game's unique multi-layered worldview and concept. The worldview layers allow players to uniquely perceive the game's environment, NPCs, and enemies, as well as they receive different information from the game's interface based on their character's skills and abilities. This new form of contextual gameplay allows gamers or players to interact differently with their individual world layers. A hacker may be interacting with access nodes, security devices, and hostile drones in augmented reality, while a street samurai, that's right, we said street samurai, can perceive weaknesses in the game's, in the enemy's armor, or see the cover benefits granted by objects in the world. See, that's hot. Mages, they can sense the life essence and magical abilities of enemies and objects even through walls, and even see augmentations on living beings as essence dead zones. That's right, mess them up. Okay, by combining these worldviews, members of a team can support each other's tactical decisions, while players can experience the world and its challenges from very different perspectives. A game concept that their team is very proud of, that's from Miss Jan Wagner, who's the co-founder of Cliffhanger Productions. Kickstarter campaign has currently reached over $250,000 so far and has found support from fans as well as the original pen and paper Shadowrun co-creator, Tim Dowd, and numerous other Shadowrun writers and artists. Uh-oh. Somebody's cutting the ginger. Kickstarter campaign enters its home stretch with 7 days to go to make the necessary funding goal. More information can be found on the Shadowrun online Kickstarter campaign and all the latest updates, which is kickstarter.com/projects. Just go there and search for Shadowrun online. I am so excited that they released this because remember we were asking them questions. I kept asking them questions. Look, mm-hmm. I am not liking how this is going to work. And the fact that this is how team play is supposed to work. Usually when you have a team, and sorry, I know you guys love you some Halo, there's really not much incentive for me to play as a team. I just kind of run around and shoot everybody.
Exactly.
But this is forcing you to play as a team because if I am a hacker and Ginger is a street samurai and I'm trying to run up to do something, Ginger's going to be able to see somebody coming or be able to do something. And our mage, who will be Snow, of course, will be like, wait, Ginger, he has no enhancements on his chest. Cut him there. And Ginger slices, bam. See how this all works together? This is nice.
That's hot.
See, yes, I like that. That's forced good teamwork. I love it. Can't wait to play.
All right. This is going to be a long one. I'm going to try to narrow it down a little bit. Leaked text from TPP negotiations indicates an attempt to limit fair use.
Uh-oh.
On Friday, pulling this from GamePolitics.com, by the way, a few short paragraphs of text were leaked from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty negotiations. The TPP is being negotiated by 9 Pacific Rim countries in secret, with the goal of producing a... Hello, wasn't that Axo doing that too? Anyways, with the goal of producing a free trade agreement that tackles issues related to intellectual property rights. The next round of negotiations is set to take place sometime in September in Leesburg, Virginia. The negotiations for the U.S. government are being handled by the U.S. Trade Representative, USTR, who was publicly criticized by 30 U.S. scholars earlier this year for the lack of transparency and the continued secrecy of ongoing negotiations. The agency shrugged off those criticisms and continued to negotiate the treaty anyways.
All right.
Wow. All right, so the new push of rules will obligate parties to seek to achieve an appropriate balance in their copyright systems and providing copyright exceptions and limitations for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Anybody see an issue with this?
Okay, well,
wow.
I'm not sure what to say to that. Am I muted?
Wow.
I'm not even sure what to say to that.
That is nuts. I mean, that's like telling... Teachers don't get paid enough as is. And if they're going to use whatever to teach a kid, to get a kid, they get some concept that needs to be put inside a child's head. Good for them. I don't care if they use whoever's song or movie or picture or whatever. I don't care. Software. It's not like it's just some kid sitting here downloading games off the internet.
Of course, that's what we all do.
Apparently. The leaked text does seem to indicate that the U.S. and Australia are seeking more restrictive language, while other countries such as New Zealand, Chile, Malaysia, Brunei, and Vietnam for more open rules to allow a party to carry forward and appropriately extend into the digital environment limitations and exceptions in its domestic laws. The U.S. and Australia sought to change the language to suggest that each party may consistent with the foregoing, adopt or maintain exceptions and limitations for the digital environment. It'll be interesting to see how the language changes as it is further negotiated. Much of the worry about the TPP is that the public is being shut out of the process entirely, while stakeholders are heavily influencing the process. That's another thing that really ticks me off about this. All right.
It's very bad. What are you... Why... You see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be talking about this later on in the week. Because it's ridiculous. Honestly.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, as if there wasn't enough going on, Acer is warning Microsoft about the Surface tablet. Oh, it was only a matter of time before Microsoft's hardware partners begin publicly criticizing the Surface tablet, Microsoft's first stab at building its own computing hardware. VentureBeat reports that Acer CEO J.T. Wang is the first of the PC makers to voice his displeasure about the Surface in an interview with the Financial Times yesterday. He says, "We have said to Microsoft, think it over. Think twice. It will create a huge negative impact for the ecosystem, and other brands may take a negative reaction. It is not something you are good at, so please think twice." Reading between the lines, the true meaning of Wang's comments are hard to ignore. He's terrified. Because it just may prove that Microsoft doesn't need to rely on fourth-tier manufacturers like Acer. The sentiment isn't surprising. After all, Microsoft basically betrayed its long-standing arrangement with PC makers by announcing the Surface so close to the launch of Windows 8, with the Surface Microsoft getting most of the spotlight with Windows 8 computers instead of its hardware partners. Campbell Can, Acer's personal computing assistant, also mentioned to the Financial Times that Acer may have to look at alternative software now that Microsoft is in the hardware game. Of course, Acer has no choice unless it wants to bet the entire company on Linux. Last month, you saw some comments from Acer Vice President Oliver Arendt predicting that the Surface will fail. At this point, Acer isn't even trying to hide that it's quaking in its boots over the impending Surface launch, and the company has good reason to be afraid. When was the last time Acer made a truly compelling device? Go ahead, we'll wait.
Yeah.
Acer may be the fourth largest PC maker in the world by shipments, but a stroll through the Best Buy will show you that it's got there by building cheap, low-quality machines. I can attest to that. Have one sitting on the desk. If Microsoft can deliver the Surface at a low price, Acer can kiss their entire digital ass and much of its business goodbye. Wow. What is it with the people? You know, it's funny, okay, the whole sentiment that all of them are having, like Microsoft owes them something, it is business. It is that simple. I'm sorry that people may lose their jobs, and I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but it is business, and you should, instead of quaking your boots like VB suggesting, maybe you need to start looking at Linux. Maybe you need to change your tactics. You're the one who put yourself in that situation by making only Microsoft products. Mm-hmm. As we've been telling a bunch of people, you put all your eggs in the one basket, and
that's what happens.
This is what happens to you. Go look at Linux. Go see what you can do with it.
Yeah.
Did Horace just say, "I'm not a team player"? I am, too. That's why I want to play Shadowrun with my girls and our guy here. I want to play with them so that we can be a team, and I can hack the stuff, and Ginger can cut and shoot them. I won't blow you up. I'm going to turn off the building security so we can get in.
Oh, okay. And then
that's what a hacker does. No, I'm going to blow them up. It's different when I'm playing with them. I do that when I'm playing Halo, because there's no bonus for me playing team. Only bonus I get is that I laugh when I dive into the bunch of you with the frag grenade on my foot. It's hilarious. All the bodies flying. Lovely.
Yes. All right. Oh, where'd it go? There we go. Majesco Entertainment announces Pitbull and LMFAO add-on tracks for Zumba Fitness Rush.
Is Majesco still around? I thought they were gone.
I know, right? I guess not. New hip-hop style pack includes dance anthems, Sexy and I Know It, and Hey Baby, along with the Zumba original track.
Please no more Sexy and I Know It.
Yeah. Majesco announced today the release of the downloadable hip-hop style pack for Zumba Fitness Rush, featuring Pitbull's Hey Baby, LMFAO's popular Sexy and I Know It, and Rock It Out, a sizzling Zumba original song. Fans can build their track library, add fresh songs to their workout with this engaging new content.
Boo.
Check out the new choreography and the hip-hop style attack by downloading the preview trailer. There's a link. It's going to be up on GameAndMatrix.com in a little bit. Priced individually at 160 Microsoft points. All three songs are available for download from Xbox Live Marketplace for the Xbox 360. Yeah, what else would it be available for on the Xbox Market? Just saying. In addition, players can download all three songs together in the hip-hop style pack, which is available for the discounted price of 440 Microsoft points. New songs include... I already told you that. All right. So anyways, yeah.
Sorry.
They wanted us to know the songs about four times.
You know how they do it when they send it over.
Sexy and I know it.
Oh, God, please. I am telling you, Baby Natrix is driving me crazy with the whole sexy and I know it.
Oh.
I'm just like, enough.
Just get video of it and remember, you know, 3 years down the road when you play it for, you know, her first date, she's going to remember.
When I tell him, she's getting ready. Go ahead, sit down. Let me show you something.
Exactly. Running around the house, dancing to it, singing to it, whatever. Yeah. Get that on video.
Yeah, she's going to hate you, Auntie Ginger. Yes. I'm going to tell her it was your idea. Auntie Ginger said that we should do this just for you.
Yes.
When she cuts you, I'm a duck. Okay.
I have the best ideas.
Well.
What happened was.
I'm trying to clear my throat. Lost Winds. I have not heard of this game, by the way. You know what? I don't think I should do it. I'm going to talk about THQ.
Okay, let's talk about THQ.
Well, they have four unannounced projects they're working on because I don't know about them Lost Winds people. I don't trust them. Anyway, Jason Rubin claims the development on several new games started in the last 60 days. THQ's internal studios have started work on four unannounced projects in the last 60 days alone. Jason Rubin, who is actually kind of cute, he's the company's recently installed president. Or maybe he's still being installed. I don't know. Has used the first 2 months of his tenure to survey its slate of products, resulting in the Saints Row DLC, Enter the Dominatrix, being expanded into a full sequel, and Insane Guillermo del Toro's Incipient project being canceled. He says, I've been focused primarily on upcoming projects, including Darksiders 2, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Metro Last Night, woo-woo! And Homefront 2, as well as the titles being developed by Total Rock Studios, Collision, Crytek, and Patrice Dissier. Beyond our announcement titles in the last 60 days, all four of our internal studios began working on new titles that represent the type of product we believe will make THQ successful in the future. Rubin won't say any more. He said that the company was definitely looking at new monetization opportunities based on current developments in the PC market and with digital platforms like Steam. THQ returned to profitability in the first fiscal quarter after a long period of struggle. In the last 8 months, the company has reduced licensing costs and overhead by more than $210 million. Of course, that was by firing a bunch of people. But hey, you do what you got to do.
You know what? Increased overhead. So, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom. Bad, Ginger. Bad.
Yeah. All right, Aeon Free-to-Play Update 3.0 to launch in Europe on August 15th of 2012. By the way, Euro people, you do your whole dates really, really weird. GameForge to publish the most extensive expansion since the game's release. If y'all just release it back to the release, I'd be so happy. The long-awaited release of Update 3.0, the most extensive expansion since Aeon's release, is imminent. Mm-hmm. On the 15th of August, players will be able to use two brand new areas and offer PvE as well as PvP fans countless exciting challenges, single and multiplayer instances, fortress battles, colossal boss monsters, numerous new items, and a level cap increased to level 60 will keep drawing you back into the wonderful world of Atreia. Alright, so we've got fast mounts and well-tended gardens. Aside from using their wings, Davis can now additionally use mounts to increase their movement speed and reach their destination more quickly. Are they flying mounts or riding mounts? It's something I need to know. And after a nerve-wracking day of adventure, they can return to their own home, which can be decorated and customized to their heart's content. Furniture can be produced with the new furniture handcrafting skill. Oh my God. Oh, God. The change of the season bestows ever-changing, breathtaking panoramas on the housing area. Yeah, you know what? I may have to go back just for the housing area, and I'll, like, never leave the housing area.
Which one is this is putting in the housing area?
Aeon.
They can't give us houses and stuff like that. They push fishing in. I may have to go back. Please don't tell me there's fishing. I don't want to know. La, 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 Ginger. No, no, no.
I don't think there's fishing yet. Because,
la, 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 la. No, 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 no.
Because I like the game. I'm not so much for the hardcore in-game anymore because, oh, my God, dungeons that take 8 hours? No. No.
Those are good on a Saturday when you're stuck indoors and it's raining, I have to admit.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Saturday when you're stuck indoors and it's raining or in the winter when it's too flipping cold to go outside. That's fine. But,
y'all done angered the Ginger.
Seriously, 8 hours. I was like, are we done yet? Are we? No, we're only about a quarter way through. Are you kidding me? We've been doing this for 2 hours.
See, in the winter is when I like it. Like I told you yesterday,
yeah.
I'll sit in the winter, like on it, like I said it today. It's cold, it's rainy. I get my blankets. I got some pizza in the oven that I made homemade now.
Oh, my God, that'd be good.
And you can sit down and you can play for 8 hours with the people that you like, by the way, because when it's people you don't like, oh, my God, somebody.
No kidding. Oh, my God, I had a guild that was like that. It was a bunch of... I like two or three out of them, and then trying to do a raid, the rest was like, oh, I'm going to kill you all.
That's when I developed the speech. That's exactly when I developed the speech. Especially, like, if it was me and you and, you know, snow playing, I'd be like, I'm the healer. I only heal these two. When they die, if they die, we're out. We will leave you in here. We don't even care. We're not going to even say bye. It's just, bam, we're gone.
Yes, yes, me and my main gaming partner. Mm-hmm. If we didn't like the group, we died. That was it. See ya. We can do this on our own. We don't actually need you. We just, you know, thought it might be a fun little change up.
Hey, Ginger.
What?
I just put up a test on the new site. It's purdy.
Nom, nom, nom. Nom, nom, nom.
It's purdy. It's very purdy.
I have to check it out.
You stop that yawning business.
I know, right?
Not acceptable. Not acceptable.
I know. Sleep there.
All right. Well, those of us...
What happened?
I'm sorry. I saw a new Twitter client, and I got all excited. Yeah, anyway, so those of you who have your Apples... Gosh, there's a lot of Apple news. I'm not sure which one I need to do. Okay, we'll start with this one first. This is short, and then I'll do a second one, if Miss Ginger doesn't mind. Okay.
Oh, run on ahead.
Okay, if you have an old iPhone and you want to get some cash for it to put towards your new one, you're not alone. Owners of older iPhones are now rushing to sell their devices in anticipation of a rumored September 12th launch date for the iPhone 5. They're cashing in up to $300 for an iPhone 4S, in many cases more than what they initially paid for the phone. Ouch. Since several respectable publications began to report September 12th as the day Apple would announce a new and improved iPhone, eBay said users submitted more than 100,000 smartphones on the instant sale program, mainly iPhones, a 70% increase on before the rumor hit. So how much would you get for your old iPhone? It kind of varies. You can receive for a 16-gigabyte iPhone 4S almost $300 on eBay's instant sale site, $280 on Gazelle, or $260 on NextWorth. A 16-gigabyte iPhone 4 goes for $170 on instant sale, about the same as on NextWorth, or about $150 on Gazelle. Other programs such as Buyback World, BuyMyTronics, and Radio Shack can get you up to $200 for a 16-gigabyte iPhone 4. An iPhone 3GS would get you around $100 on either of those sites. If you're trading in your other older smartphone sooner rather than after the iPhone is launched, you might get a better price, but it leaves you without an iPhone until the next model arrives. That's if it ships on September 17th, 12th, I think.
If, boys and girls, if.
Of course, as the market gets flooded with used iPhones just before a new model is anticipated, aftermarket prices drop too, so you could get up to $100 less for an iPhone 4S today, the new phone is announced, than you would now. But if you want to wait to see what the new iPhone might bring and whether it's something you want to upgrade to, especially if you're near the end of your contract, if you're stupid enough to get one, with your iPhone, why would you do such a thing? Then you would check your carrier.
Y'all hear that? She is yelling at y'all. Y'all are in trouble.
Then you could check your carrier to see if it's cheaper to pay a small cancellation fee and start a new contract with a new device. Now, here's another option if you don't mind paying $600. Virgin Mobile is now carrying iPhones, no contract. And you get to have all the features.
No contract, you say.
No contract, and they don't care. You can get it with a contract if you want, but you can buy your iPhone. And if you're not a talker, or if you're a person who likes a lot of apps, like you use apps to talk, you pay your $600, and you get your iPhone, unlimited data, messaging, and you get whatever minute plan. Or you can get the unlimited minute plans. It's $55 a month, but it's always unlimited data all the way down to the $25 a month. And there you got your iPhone, you got your Siri, and I'm sure you can find an app to work around that not being able to talk on it with a lot of minutes things, because we all do.
That's nice. That's very nice.
The phone is expensive, and I just found out they had the iPhones like the other day. I went to the site by accident. I know y'all said, how do you go to a website by accident? It happens. Sometimes I'm talking a million miles a minute, not looking at what I'm clicking on in my favorites. Bam. And I said, oh, look at that. That's an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
In two different colors, too, in black and white.
But no pink?
No pink, unfortunately.
That's fine. Oh, by the way, if you go into Second Life, do not go to the pink fair, the pink ribbon fair. It was disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, I think there was like two things out of the entire place that I liked. And I did. I spent all morning slowly wandering through that lag fest.
Oh, well, then you need to tell us about that later tonight, because tonight is Picks and Mix and Media.
Yeah, I went to both fairs that are going on right now. Mm. One's better than the other. Australia, not safe. Definitely not safe for work, Australia. Anyways, Australia NSW Police Commissioner takes heat for video game comments. Australia New South Wales Police Commissioner Andrew Sipion is taking a lot of heat for comments he made recently, blaming the rise of teen knife-related crimes on playing violent video games. Sipion, yeah, really. I mean, because isn't it like in the 50s people started carrying the whole little butterfly knives and little switchblades?
Yeah.
What video games were they playing back in the 50s? Anyways, Sipion recently told the Daily Telegraph that teens were being desensitized by violence by playing violent video games that reward them for killing and raping people. Obviously, a tired trope related to Grand Theft Auto spewed by politicians. In a recent story in news.com.au, Dr. Christopher Ferguson, Associate Professor of Psychology and Communication at the University of Texas, said that the police commissioner's comments were irresponsible. And a knee-jerk reaction to a rise in knife-related crimes. He also said that Sipion had no idea what he was talking about.
Hell, I like when they say
yeah.
that. You have no
in
idea.
In fact, in most countries, youth violence has reached 40-year lows during the video game epoch, says Ferguson, who added that Sipion ignored data that showed no increase in youth violence. Even his own government disagrees with him. A March report by the Australian Institute of Criminology showed that the crime rates had fallen across most major categories. Car theft had dropped over 60% over the last decade. Homicide had dropped 27% between 1996 and 2010. A government report in 2010 also came to the conclusion that there was no correlation between violence in the real world and playing violent video games. Ferguson said, although many games do allow players to explore a range of moral choices, both good and bad, they do not typically set up rigid reward structures to reward antisocial behavior. Many games have considerable consequences for the moral choices players make. Yes, I know. Because I like to be evil, and they don't like for me to be evil. Dr. Jeffrey Brand, a professor of communication and media at Bond University, echoed Ferguson, saying that the police commissioner ignored several major studies on playing video games and violence that found no correlation between the two activities. He also ignored the ruling of Brown v. EMA, which weighed research from both schools of thought on video game violence. The court sided with researchers such as Ferguson, who did not find a link between playing violent video games and real-world violent acts. Brand also pointed out that most Australians play video games, which means that criminals and law-abiding citizens are in the same group. Yay, criminals use phones, read books, and watch television too.
Amazing.
Try to find a causation when the majority of the populace engages in an activity is highly problematic. Awesome. So in other words, you, Mr. Sipion, are a tool.
I would like to also say to Jay that you are slow with your 13.8 seconds and your hurdles. Anyway, I thought I had to get that.
Okay.
I had to say that to him. We're all playing Google Doodle. If you're not playing, you need to get on over there.
Google Doodle?
The Google Doodle. I just told you about the top of the show. You got to jump the hurdles in honor of the Olympics.
Sounds kind of kinky.
You know what? No. No, ma'am. Okay. more information on Apple. This is turning into the All Apple Show all day, every day. That's right. According to VentureBeat, it's not just Google Maps that will be missing from the new iOS 6. Apple confirmed today that it's dropping YouTube like a bad habit. YouTube, the YouTube app anyway, from the new operating system, eventually replacing it with a new YouTube app from Google. Early testers of iOS 6 noticed that the Google YouTube app had disappeared in the latest beta release of the operating system, which was just released a mere few hours ago. 9to5 Mac reports that Apple eventually offered the following statement to The Verge, explaining the situation. They said, our license to include the YouTube app in iOS has ended. Customers can use YouTube in the Safari browser, and Google is working on a new YouTube app to be in the App Store. The news further hammers home how much Apple is separating itself from Google, from the Google in iOS 6. When Apple first announced the new operating system in June, one of the biggest changes was the removal of Google Maps in favor of Apple's own map app, which features some nifty 3D capabilities. It's not too surprising to see Apple give up on its YouTube app either. The app hasn't seen many updates over the past few years, even though it was one of the key apps when the iPhone first appeared in 2007. Google has released an HTML5-powered YouTube web app that was far superior to Apple's way back in 2010, which probably why they got rid of it. Y'all better pray. Anyway, but when asked for comment, a Google spokesperson sent along the following statement. Says, we are working with Apple to ensure we have the best possible YouTube experience for iOS users. Now, the problem, Apple, is that you don't have your own service like YouTube, so you may want to not just cut them out.
Yeah. All right. I had another one. Where'd it go? I had one. There we go. Dead Trigger developer says piracy cannot be stopped. You can't fight City Hall, and apparently you can't fight piracy online either, at least according to Dead Trigger developer Madfinger Games. The company made news earlier this month when it turned the Android version of its zombie shooting game... Freemium, claiming that the Android version of the game had such a high piracy rate that the game needed to be free with microtransactions. Last week, the company turned the iOS version of the game freemium for similar reasons. We just simply enjoy making games. Madfinger Games CEO Merrick Robbins told told somebody, that is why we are here, so why dwell on the fact that 80% to 90% of the people who do not respect your hard work and steal the game. Games are always stolen. There's not much we can do about it. I do not believe that piracy can be stopped. While Robbins has resigned himself to the truth, they do that with air quotes, he goes on to say that platform holders like Google and Apple need to do more to fight against piracy. In my opinion, the amount of piracy is equal to how easy the pirating is, and the game developer has nothing to do with it. It is really very sad for us in the gaming industry that with a few clicks of a mouse, or touches, a user can install the game and use it for free. It's definitely easier than setting up an account on iTunes or Google Play, filling out large forms, and answering all security questions. That is why we need help with security from the companies who make the hardware. Their hardware is selling because of our content, and they should protect our games from being stolen.
You know, what you're going to have to do, dear, is write yourself a little app to protect your games. You're expecting too much from them. These are the people who let a reporter get hacked with little to no information. What do you matter? We got your money.
Exactly.
We don't care.
Good story. Yep.
All right. So RF Online. Did you talk about this?
No.
It's coming to Games Campus. We didn't talk about this. I could have sworn you were just talking about this. I saw you mention it. I'm not sure. Anyway, we got about 7 minutes, so let me throw this really quick. Leading online game publisher Games Campus today blows the door open on a mighty secret. The successful return of the PvP-centric sci-fi MMORPG RF Online. A mix of fantasy and a healthy dose of science fiction, Rising Force Online pits players into a massive three-faction non-stop battle that equips them with everything from swords to nuclear weapons, that sounds hot, to bring the opposing factions to their knees. Players can now sign up for the Games Campus account at rfonline.gamescampus.com. Games Campus is proud to partner with CCR to bring RF Online to a global audience in English and completely free to play. This is from Hubert Yee, who's the head of marketing at Games Campus. The two companies have been working together closely for months, and we're very excited to begin service for Rising Force Online in late August. RF Online features three distinct races: Bellatio with pointed ears, used force, magic or as their primary weapon. They rely on heavy mechs known as Maus for a variety of combat situations. Korra are similar to the Bellatio in appearance, though larger, and prefer to use their force to call and tame creatures known as Animus to aid in their victories. Akritia are a race of cyborgs, completely mechanical and unable to use force. Instead, they rely on technological feats, including both close-range weapons and range combat, such as rocket launchers.
Yay! Rocket launchers.
I prefer to fight with words over weapons. RF Online's deep political system wants you. Each of the three races is led by a political leader, the Archon, who serves as a one-week term. They still stole that. And Archon may appoint up to 8 counselors to aid him or her in decision-making. If the politicians cannot woo the vote of the population, the player with the highest PvP ranking will be automatically slotted into the open position, proving might does make right in the world of RF Online. RF Online seamlessly fuses the world of fantasy and technology as never seen before. Whether building a reputation for a ruthless player versus player action, pursuing a political career, and becoming Archon of the faction, or creating an economical stranglehold on the production and consumption of minerals, play RF Online the way you want to. Compete in massive realm versus realm. Ooh, that sounds hot. Remind you of anything, Ginger? As three unique factions, V for control of resources.
Holy Stone
Keeper. Only headquarters and settlement towns are safe from the enemy encroachment. Watch your back, or someone will be sure to stab you in it. You can check them out at gamescampus.com or at rfonline.gamescampus.com. Again, this is a free-to-play game.
We like free-to-play.
And it's at a free-to-games portal operated by onnet.usa. Yes, they are from California, founded in 2006. And they're known for their highly successful golf simulation game, Shot Online. Nice. I may have to play that.
That just sounds so familiar. I
don't know about that, but it is. It
has robots or something, right?
Yeah. There's a striking.
Yeah, I think I played that ages ago.
Yeah. It looks interesting. There's a lot of free-to-play games. I cannot begin.
It was interesting because there's a rock and roll. It's a rock song out now that samples part of the game music. That's how I knew it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Do you have one ready? Because if you do, I have another. All right, let's share real quick.
All right, you go right on ahead.
Got 3 minutes.
You go on ahead.
You know what? I don't know if that's going to be long enough. It's not going to be long enough. You guys are going to have to wait to hear about this till tomorrow.
All right. Well, Best Buy founder moves to make retailer a privately owned company. Venture Beat is reporting that Best Buy founder Richard Schultz is moving forward with a plan to take the electronics retail store chain from being publicly traded to a privately held company. Will that bring down your price gouging any? Just want to know. Talk of taking the company private was first floated back in June of this year, but this time the founder of the company is backing it up with offers to buy its stock at a premium for shareholders. Schultz stepped down as Best Buy's chairman earlier this year, but he still holds 20% of Best Buy's stock and is offering other shareholders $24 to $26 per share to take the company private. The offer is 34% higher than the stock's closing price of $17.64 on Friday. Schultz's offer would put the value of the company at $8.5 million. Schultz has pledged to contribute $1 billion in equity from his own shares, with the remaining amount coming from private equity firms with an interest in acquiring Best Buy. He says, I have been actively exploring all available options for my ownership stake. The exploration has reinforced my belief that bold and extensive changes are needed for Best Buy to return to market leadership and has led me to the conclusion that the company's best chance for renewed success will be to implement these changes under a different ownership structure. I don't know. I still don't like Best Buy, so meh.
I like that they buy back all your electronics now. That I do like, but
yeah,
I think that's more Geek Squad than Best Buy.
Yeah.
All right, people, it's that time.
It's that time again. Ah.
Ginger sings. You can find it on YouTube. Check her out on video. Check out her videos on YouTube. She's going to sing. Are you stripping too? Are you stripping?
No.
Oh, too bad. All right. We'll see you guys later on. Pixinista, make sure you're here on time. We got a lot of new fashion stuff that came out. Digital fashion, that is. We'll be telling you about. And Ginger, of course, will be talking about the cancer event up in Second Life having to do with fashion.
Yes.
We'll see you guys later.
girls, tell them guys, super size me a combo. No, I got the ammo, that's why I bulletproof the Lambo. In the Middle East, pulling a camo, running through the jungle, Rambo. Liberace Tango, swinging on the vine, mango. So call me Simba, little mama, cause Mufasa couldn't stop. I bet I flattened on that top of the suburb. Let's see, I got it, just mean to me. I get in the phantom of the opera, going black, I motherfucker got that big.
Tried to cut that off. Jen.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!